Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 1, 6 to 8. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey, and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them."
Once again, happy Sabbath to everyone there. On this beautiful Sabbath day, we've come in to be in the presence of our God, to worship Him, praise and honor His holy name, and we're thankful for our God, for His grace and His love, especially in the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. Our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You have called us to come unto Thee to be Your children. And as You told the people of Israel, "Obey My commandments, and I will be your God, and you will be My children." We know that it is true today, Father. We know that it is the soon coming of our Lord is upon us. We are in these last days. We know that there are things yet to happen. But we're gradually coming to the end of this world as we know it. We need to be prepared for it. We need to prepare others, Father, for the coming of our Lord. So we just pray that the Holy Spirit is with each one of us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, again, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. "For the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto the places right nigh unto thee in the plain, in the hills, in the valley, in the south, and by the sea side, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Yes, the land that God was going to give them was huge territory for them. And we know how hard it was. Eventually, once they even made it to Canaan, they went in and possessed the land, but they didn't completely root all the people out. So they know that they had problems there, intermarrying and all these things that happened to there. But as you get back to it there, the amount of space taken up to move such a huge number of people, space, territory, and then especially the territory that needed for the encampment. Because they've been told that imperfect there, that from the sanctuary to the encampment was a mile on all sides. So anybody doing a sin and having to take a sacrifice had to walk that mile across that open space to be able to take their sacrifice to the sanctuary. But it seems almost impossible, doesn't it? Yet we know that there's nothing too small or too great for our God. As we sing the mighty power of God, His power alone. And God's instruction to Moses and to His people was always to move forward. I did say, name this days versus years, but also I could title it to move forward. And that's for us today also, to move forward. His presence was shown with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, in verses 5 and 6. Chapter 4, 5 and 6. "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon earth's assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a cover from storm and from rain. So here, a miracle of God taking care of his people throughout that 40 years. From Ellen White says, the cloud and smoke by day and the flaming fire by night refer to the visible manifestation of the presence of God that accompanied his people on their journey from Egypt to Canaan. Yes, and yes, God was invisible, but he led his people through visible agents. We know that the God of heaven is our leader today. He is one that we can safely follow. We know that we cannot follow man. We cannot follow the leaders of our nation. We have to follow God in his word. And God pledges his church to lead them to Canaan, to the promised land, to the heavenly Canaan, just as he did with the people of Israel at that time of the Exodus. And we are also to follow his guidance today to help us through the times of trouble that each one of us have. And that we know that when the pillar of smoke descended upon the tabernacle, it was time to encamp for them. When it was lifted up, reported, they were to move forward. And then there was also the blowing of the trumpets. Blowing of trumpets throughout that 40 years for moving, for stopping, for assembly, and many other things for that. And each time that they moved, Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee from thee. And when it rested, Moses said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Numbers chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. And then in Deuteronomy, there we see that chapter stand. They finally made it to the end of their destination. There at Shittim, before they moved into take the land. There we are told that the journey from Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai in Kadesh was about 11 days there in verse 2. Just talking about the time before the 40 years when their exodus from Egypt. It was south of Canaan and west of the Dead Sea. And that there, they had reached their destination, and then Moses gave them a history lesson again there, and then went over the law again and many other things through that, what the chapter of Deuteronomy is about, the book of Deuteronomy. I really haven't looked it up and made this for sure, but just a while back I heard one of our evangelists say that they're on the plain of Moab in that area, that in this side of the Jordan, that Jesus came down three times. He said that we know that Jesus came as a babe, in a manger, and he's coming the second time, but he actually came down three other times that we know of. Anyway, the first time was to receive Enoch, and Enoch was no more. To receive Elijah in a whirlwind, and also to retrieve Moses' body from his grave. And it was also said that it was on this side of the Jordan where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And whether I can't corroborate any of that, so I don't know if any of you have heard that or not. So we know that whenever it was time for them, God gave them only one direction, and that was to go forward. And we know what happened there. Or maybe I should say, when they obeyed his instructions, they were to go forward. But also we know that through unbelief, they were not always able to do that. And they were unable to take the land of Canaan at that time. We know that God audibly spoke to Moses, and he spoke to the people through through fire, with fire there. And we could look at God's message for Moses and the people, maybe in three sections: location, proclamation, and destination. Mount Sinai, where they received God's instruction, the call to move forward, their commission, and their destination was Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the land of opportunity. We also know there at the Red Sea, God gave them instruction to move forward, and it resulted in the entire mass of people moving through dry land where the waters of the Red Sea held back, and they safely was able to cross over that. Just as they were saved 40 years later, they were safely able to cross the River Jordan, and it was at springtime when the Jordan overflowed. So we know that it was a mighty miracle at that time also. And we know that everything didn't go smoothly. From the Red Sea to Sinai, or even during the time spent at the mountain, even through the 40 years of wandering through there, always problems created by the people, especially the added people that went to them there, that not just the Hebrews that left Egypt, but many of the Egyptians had married Hebrews, and they were that mixed multitude, and they caused the biggest problems that they had throughout that 40 years. And we know that it was constant murmuring, fault finding, complaining, especially in regard to appetite. They always wanted a little, let alone with water, they always wanted flesh to eat. And we know at certain times God gave them that and much more. But through their unbelief in God, being able to see them through that, God wasn't able to fulfill the covenant that he had made with them. And how many times did they say that they should have stayed in Egypt instead of dying in the wilderness because they didn't believe in the power of God? Yet, through that 400 years that they were in Egypt, they kept records. The following generations could go all the way back to their ancestry and know what tribe they were from. So they kept that. So they had these things in their head already about God and about their being Hebrews and God's people. But yet that still wasn't enough for that there. We know that it took them 2 months to reach Sinai, where they resided for about 11 and a half months. It says it was in the third month of their time from leaving Egypt that they reached Mount Sinai. Then at the end of the 11 and a half months, it was in the second month of the third year that they were told to go forward and move. They went from the mount to the area of Kadesh Barnea in 11 days, as it said there. It says there in Deuteronomy. But then they asked God if they could send in spies into the territory and check it out. And so he allowed them to send 12 spies in, one man from each tribe. And we know what happened there. Because of their unbelief again, God told them that they couldn't go in and that they had to wander for 40 years, 1 year for each day of the 40 days of spying out the land. But he wouldn't let them go in. He told them no. And then another result from not accepting God's word and his judgment, many of the men still formed an army and tried to go in and take Canaan. And we know that they were defeated. And their punishment was was that they wouldn't be able to go into the land of Canaan to live and go into the land of Canaan. They all perished in the wilderness. From 20 years up, they all perished before they reached the land of Canaan. How many of us call the sanctuary now here today your comfort zone? Are you in your comfort zone today? Right now? Do you have a comfort zone? Or should maybe I should ask if some of you don't have a comfort zone? Where you feel safe? Where you're comfortable? Where you're at ease? We know that when we are into the Word of God, in the sanctuary with God, we should have a comfort zone to be at ease with our God. To be able to study the Word of God and contemplate upon it. Do that. And then each time that we moved, I know that probably everybody has moved more than once. One time, many of us several times. I think I've moved 8 times. So there. But, you know, it takes a while to get settled in. I believe, you know, and that's probably what it, in many respects, that's what it probably was for the people there, how they felt, you know, there at Mount Sinai. It had become a comfort zone to them. It had become home to them, you know, that there. And they probably felt like they even had squatters' rights, you know, on there. So they were kind of reluctant to move forward. But when God gave them the command to move forward, they did so, to go in to take the possession of their inheritance. The cloud lifted, the trumpets blew, and they moved forward. And they moved forward as a mountain together, not individually or singly there. And today, God's church is to move as a mountain also. Yes, the church is made up of individuals. But as a church, we are to move as a mountain. In Selected Messages, Book 1, pages 68 and 69, Ellen White tells us, we are told that it was not the will of God that the coming of Christ shall be thus delayed. God did not design that his people Israel should wander 40 years in the wilderness. He promised to lead them directly to the land of Canaan and establish them there a holy, healthy people. But those to them it was first preached went not in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:19. Their hearts were filled with murmuring, rebellion, and hatred, and he could not fulfill his covenant with him. For 40 years did unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion shut out ancient Egypt from the land of Canaan. Same sins today have delayed his people from reaching the heavenly Canaan. And in neither case was the promise of God at fault. We know that God is never at fault. It is a human race that is at fault. In the unbelief, the worldliness, the unconsecration and strife among God's professed people has kept us in the world of sin and sorrow for so many years. It's time to move on. It's time to be people of the living God and do as he has instructed us to do. Modern Israel has been delayed because of unbelief. Just wonder what it would have been if the people had went in at that time into Canaan. They would have went in at a different direction because they were south of Canaan. They would go north. Whether they were going to have to take Jericho first, I don't know. There's space in between that, so maybe not. They wouldn't maybe not have taken Jericho. But we know the results of not doing it. It was 40 years of wandering. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he pulleth in the sickle because the harvest has come. God is waiting patiently for the manifestation of himself in his church today, in each one of us. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is a privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our work individually and as a church, to move as a mountain to be able to do this. We're all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory. How quickly the whole world would be sown with this seed of the gospel. So we know that we have a work to do. We have to be about our Father's business. Quickly the last harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather the precious fruit. We are the precious fruit. The people of this world are the precious fruit, his children. Christ has delayed his coming for sinners to repent. Pray that each one of us has repented. And we are to give this gospel message to everyone that we meet, our family, our friends, at our workplace, wherever you can. We know some places it's hard, like our workplace, it's kind of hard to talk about God, about Jesus. The establishment doesn't want that to happen. We know that children cannot talk about it in school anymore. But it's time to take our journey and to move forward. In Esther 4:16, if I perish, I perish. What if Esther didn't go in before the king? What would have happened? The people there would have been annihilated, would have been killed. We are to move forward from our comfort zone. We are to plant our feet on higher ground. The charge for us today is to move forward. The Remnant Church's location is the world. We have received our instruction from the Word of God. God's proclamation, our commission, is to move forward. Our destination, the heavenly kingdom. Excuse me. And I don't know, back then, it was a million plus. The Remnant Church today is 21 million plus. So 21 million plus of the Remnant Church and the people that are in the other denominations versus 7 billion plus in this world. Quite a difference. But we know with the power of God, we are a mighty force. Individually and as together, collectively, as a church. So where is the church going today? Are we going backwards? Are we at a standstill still? Or are we moving forward? We pray that we are moving forward. We're moving forward to God in his covenant that he has given, the promise of his covenant given to the spiritual Israel, which we are a part of today. So I just pray that we are doing what God wants us to do, each one of us. We know that sometimes it's hard for us to do that with everything that's happened and the things that happened to us and all the temptations that Satan throws ahead of us, our roadblocks. We know that we can go through our roadblocks. We can go around them. We can even go through them with the power of God, the power from heaven. So we just pray, I pray that each one of us will do as God has asked us to do, to obey his commandments, that we will be his children, he will be our God. And one day soon, we will reach that heavenly kingdom, that heavenly Canaan, in heaven for 1,000 years, and then on this earth for eternity. With the throne of God here with us. And I really didn't ever think about it, but I was also told it wasn't that evangelist that I was talking about, but another one said that a human being is going to be king of the earth. because Jesus is going to keep that for me. We're not to take that and, you know, think that we're high and mighty now because our Lord Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine. So we just pray then, no, for surety, we can take the word for surety, that we can be his children, and that we will be with him for in eternity. That's a promise given to us in the word of God. And we just pray that each one of us believes that, and we work towards the goal of entering into the covenant with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our mighty God, plant our feet on higher ground. Oh, Father God, we pray that one day soon we will be presented to thee with our Savior by our side, that we will see thee face to face. Help us through the trying times that each one of us has, so that we may do the work that you have given to us, to pronounce the gospel message, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior and the Redeemer of the world, that your word is truth, your word is trustworthy. So we just pray, Father, that the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we leave this place. Glory to him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy, to God, the only God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power which he had before time began, now and forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen.